Hello, and welcome to Citizen 411, your information directory for democracy, where we want everyone empowered and represented in our democratic republic. I'm Tracy Riley Kelly.
And I'm Teresa Torres.
Citizen 411 is powered by the League of Women Voters. We're nonpartisan, and we never promote candidates. We help people understand the issues so they can vote responsibly. Well, June is a very civic month,
yep,
Teresa.
I know.
There are two national holidays this month. One of them is Flag Day on Saturday, June 14th, and it's actually not a federal holiday, so it will be celebrated on Saturday. We are encouraged to display the U.S. flag outside our homes and the flag flown from buildings, and we understand that there will be a huge military parade in Washington, D.C. this year, which is kind of like in France and also in Russia. And meanwhile, on that very same day, Saturday, June 14th, Vancouver will celebrate the Juneteenth Freedom Day at Esther Short Park. And this is a federal holiday for an event that happened on June 19th, 1865. And this was only when the people in Galveston, Texas, first learned that the Civil War was over and enslaved people were free. Vancouver's celebration is full of booths, food, and live entertainment from 10 to 3. So be there.
So our guest this week is Jennifer Giltrop, Executive Director of the Fort Vancouver Regional Library System. Jennifer brings over 25 years of leadership in public library administration. She has served a senior role at major library systems across the country, including Washington, D.C., Seattle, Jacksonville, and Michigan. Known for championing innovation and community engagement, Giltrop is an active member of the American Library Association, Public Library Association, and Urban Libraries Council. She holds a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration at Aquinas College and a Master of Library and Information Science from Wayne State University. Ms. Giltrop is a passionate advocate for lifelong learning and the evolving role of libraries in modern society.
Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Jennifer, why do we need public libraries?
Well, that's a great question, but public libraries remain essential in today's society for a wide range of social, educational, economic, and cultural reasons. They're about belonging and access.
And many people don't realize that our own library is not just the Vancouver City Library, but I understand that it covers more than three counties. Can you kind of give us a snapshot and tell us what the library is today?
Sure, and what a fabulous year to celebrate that. The library district was formed on July 1st, 1950, under the state law RCW 27.12. I'm sure you'll all go look that up.
Right.
But the district covers 4,200 square miles of Clark County, everyone except for the city of Camas, all of Skamania County, all of Klickitat County, and the city of Woodland in Cowlitz County. We serve over 550,000 people, and we have a seven-member library board. We are a junior taxing district, so the library board is a governing body. There's no oversight except for through the library board of trustees. And those trustees are appointed by areas they serve, two from the city of Vancouver, three from Clark County, one from Skamania County, and one from Klickitat County. They are seven-year terms that they are appointed to and can serve up to two terms. We have 15 library locations throughout our area, two bookmobiles, an operations center, and of course, our 24/7 digital branch.
Hey.
So Camas is right in the middle of this. I actually know personally that there's kind of a history there, but explain to the average library user, can they go to Camas and use their Fort Vancouver Regional Library card there? How does that work?
So we have something that is called a reciprocal borrowing program with all our neighboring library systems. So if you are a Fort Vancouver Regional Library cardholder, you can go into the Camas Public Library and you can get a free library card from Camas. If you live in the Camas Public Library service area, you can come into Fort Vancouver Regional Library and also get a library card from Fort Vancouver. The difference is at Fort Vancouver, Vancouver with our 15 locations. You can check out books and return them to any of our 15 locations. But in Camas, if you check something out there, you need to return it there.
Right.
I like that you can return them to
a branch. But also, we have reciprocal borrowing with Multnomah and with others. So,
yes.
Those of us who like audio, we also look at Multnomah's.
Yeah. Yes, but I think the other difference there from an access point, obviously the Fort Vancouver Regional Library has far more both physical and digital collections that are available. So we do see a large percentage of Camas people using the Fort Vancouver system. And we'd love to see them join the district at any time.
Indeed. You know, I'm a reader, and personally I'm perplexed at people who don't see the need for libraries, and maybe they don't use the library. For these people, from what they're saying, why do they believe that it's too much trouble to go to the library rather than just using Google or downloading books from Amazon at home? Do they not know about the Libby app at the library?
Well, I would first tell you that people do visit their library. In 2024, we had 1.37 million people walk into our library locations. That's as many as a sellout crowd 66 times for the Portland Trailblazers.
Ooh. Oh,
so, you know, that's pretty good. They are using their library. Yeah. And 99,000 people attended programs at the library. So people are using their library. But for those who aren't, our digital branch is open 24/7, and so many of our people who have very busy lives today might not realize all the access they get by just going to fvrl.org and getting a library card. If you don't have a physical card, you can apply for an electronic access card right online.
So that makes
it really easy for you. But, you know, libraries aren't built on algorithms and ads. They are built on trust. Whether you're coming in person for story times, public computers, job search tools, meeting spaces, libraries are about empowerment, community, and real people.
That's true.
You know, I get so concerned about people reading a news feed which is sent to them, or maybe they find this how-to-do on a TikTok. How have this new phone... You know, and we worry about fraud and incorrect information that people may be getting.
Yeah, I mean, certainly information is now embedded into our daily routines, from checking our health systems to comparing products to constant casual and often unconscious searching that goes on. People start with Reels headlines and Google searches, but information retrieval today is nearly instantaneous, but the algorithms tailor to your own personal preferences, and that can create bias and also a narrow approach to looking at all sides of an issue. So that's a problem today. We know that people are also all about their mobile access, and so lots of information, apps, etc. are trying to develop to that. So your smartphones and voice search and video tutorials, podcasts like we're at today, and visual platforms like TikTok. But libraries support that curiosity, but deepen it in providing a lot more depth and breadth to issues that people can look into. It increases a focus on critical evaluation and credible sources, fact-checking, using media literacy to address challenges. So we can help you go from curiosity to confidence.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, we know that public libraries are great value for our tax dollars. And we also know that FVRL is going out for a vote in August. It's called a levy lid lift.
So say that fast a few times.
Levy lid lift. Yeah. Just explain to us. How does that work? How does a library get its money?
Right. So district libraries in the state of Washington are funded primarily through property taxes. A levy is what that's called. And in Washington, we are capped at an increase over assessed values of 1% per year growth. So when your revenue is not meeting your expenses, you need to go back to the voters for a levy lid lift. And on average, people that are governments that collect levies go back for a levy lid lift every 5 to 7 years. It's been 15 years for the library system. Mm. Over 100,000 new people live in our district that didn't live here 15 years ago. And so I think that this is our primary source of funding. Unlike if you're a city or a school district or county, you have other sources of funds that can be drawn from. But for the library, these property taxes represent 96% of our funding.
It's gone up. Used to be only 93%.
Yep, it's 96%. Yeah. And so we'll be asking the voters to restore our tax rate to 50 cents per $1,000 of taxable assessed value. What happens with how it the design of the law works is because of that 1% cap, as taxable assessed values go up, the levy rate goes down in order to ensure that 1% cap.
You know, so that we're not just being taxed out of our houses for libraries or anything else. But I still find that so complicated.
It's very complicated, for sure.
I know that you have an excellent page on your website that explains it. And for those of us who need the visual, I really encourage people to look at it. So you've sort of told us we're asking now after 15 years because you've waited, and now we're kind of at a critical point. Is that right?
Yeah, we are definitely at a critical point. I started with the library in December of 2023, and the first thing I needed to do was really dig into the financial condition. And what we've discovered is that what is designed in the law is that early on in a levy, there's more revenue than expenses, and those are saved into your bank account or your reserves. And in the later years, you have to draw from those reserves in order to sustain your service. So this year, we are drawing $4.7 million out of reserves in order to balance our budget. And next year, that gap will be $7.6 million, and that is no longer sustainable.
Right.
Because the library only gets paid twice a year, in April and October when taxes come in, because that's our main source of funding. Right. So it's really important that we keep our 60 to 90 day fund balance healthy, because we draw on those reserves in between tax receipts. Because while I've asked the staff, would you like to only get paid twice a year? They said no way.
No.
So in order to sustain payroll and pay our bills throughout the year, we have to sustain a certain level of fund balance. And at this point, we are in a position that we will have to cut services in order to balance our budget.
All right. Interesting but complicated. So right now you're listening to Citizen 411. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will resume our chat with Jennifer Giltrop, Executive Director of the Fort Vancouver Regional Library District.
For over 20 years, Vancouver Family Magazine has been covering local news, recreation, travel, education, parenting, personalities, and more. We connect your family to people, places, ideas, organizations, helpful resources, and local stories. Pick up your copy every month at over 300 locations all over Clark County, or read online at vancouverfamilymagazine.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for even more local news and family fun at Vancouver Family.
The Community Angels at National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation, or NWCAVE, have a dream, a world without violence. NWCAVE educates about the prevention of violence against women and children. Learn more at nwcave.org.
Welcome back to Citizen 411, and we're your hosts, Tracy Riley Kelly and Teresa Torres. Today we're chatting with Jennifer Giltrop, Director of the Fort Vancouver Regional Library District, about the upcoming library levy. Well, we all are aware of the deep effects of inflation, and we're all very worried about tariffs right now in the U.S. How have money concerns affected, and inflation affected the library district?
Well, inflation is up 43% since 2011, the last time we had a levy lid lift. And yet, annually, we are capped at a 1% growth rate plus new construction. So in recent years, we've been collecting 2% to 3% increased revenue, but our expenses are going up 4% to 5% annually. And so that math doesn't work. It's not sustainable. So if our levy rate would have kept pace with inflation, we'd be at 0.72 cents per $1,000 of taxable assessed value. We're at 27 cents right now. There is a limit, though, in the state for library funding. That's at 50 cents per $1,000 of taxable assessed value, and that is what we are asking for. And this levy and asking for a levy lid lift really affects our ability to sustain and grow our services.
So as just average Jill citizen, what does this levy amount mean for us? In other words, how much more would it cost?
How much out of my pocket?
Sure. Well, in 2024, the average home value in our district was $400,000. And so for the 50 cents per $1,000 of taxable assessed value, that's $200 a year total, mm-hmm. or $16.67 a month. That is $7.67 more per month than what the current average homeowner is paying. $7.67 a month more, or $200 a year. On our website at fvrl.org/levy, you too can go and see what you're paying for mm-hmm. taxes right now, and also the value you get from your library.
Right.
For example, if you check out 6 books and go to 4 programs and whatever else you use the library to do, it will tell you the value, and that you can compare that with what you're paying in taxes, and I guarantee you it's a good value. The thing is the library is there for everyone from cradle to grave,
yeah.
all
mm-hmm.
walks of life. And we, as I said, we're serving over 550,000 people across 4,200 square miles. It is the best value. For every dollar invested in a public library, there's $5 to $6 returned to the local community in economic investment. So I think it's definitely a great return on investment. We know that... this impact for people, while it is an increased tax, it is not a new tax. It is asking to restore the levy rate to the 50 cents per $1,000.
It's a very strong social justice thing to for everybody in the community.
Definitely.
Libraries are free.
I agree. But let's now talk about what if it doesn't pass. We don't even want to think about that, but tell us.
Well, if it doesn't pass, as I mentioned earlier, we have to maintain a certain fund balance in our reserves in order to pay our bills throughout the year in between our revenue receipts from taxes in April and October. And so in order to balance our budget, and I said we were going to have a $7.6 million deficit, our board considered many options mm-hmm. in looking toward the future. And so the option that is before us, if the vote is no, then if we are not successful asking the voters for a levy lid lift, we will be reducing services across the district by 30%. That's 207 fewer open hours per week district-wide, and that's 68 full-time positions. Now, those might be hours from people's positions, mm-hmm. part-time positions, or full-time. It really depends. The reason we can open our libraries is because we have staff there to provide the services. So those staff are linked to the open hours. We'll also see reductions across the board. We'll have $300,000 less invested into library materials, whether those are physical or digital. We try to keep our collection budget, we call it, at 12% of our overall expenses. And our staff, we keep at under 70% as a service organization. That's very common.
That is.
But
yeah.
Those are two large expenses mm-hmm. because we are a library system, our staff and our collections. And that doesn't leave a lot else for the rest of what has to happen, things we don't control, like insurance rates and utility bills mm-hmm. and all of those mm-hmm. kinds of things. And oh, by the way, we have 16 facilities that we maintain. So that costs
some
money
aging,
as well.
Some aging, I imagine.
And then we also will not have any new libraries built out of district funds should the levy not mm-hmm. pass. And we will have to close the Vancouver Mall Library in 2028 once mm-hmm. that lease expires. And you know, that mall library is around 40 years old.
I know.
It was the first mall library in the country.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. That's the first library I worked at when I came to Vancouver. So I have a fond, although it was in a different location. It's moved a lot.
Yes. And the other note is that if we don't pass the levy in future years, by 2029, we would have to take a further 25% cut.
Ouch.
So that's almost, over half the system by that point. We're starting to talk about building closures then.
Mm. Okay, let's stop talking about that. Let's talk about what happens. So is it 50% plus one or is it a 60% vote?
50% plus one. And that's district-wide.
Okay, and then so if it passes, will the library just be maintaining the status quo or will we get a little bit more for our money?
You'll get more for your money, Teresa,
yay.
For sure. The library will sustain our current operations and then add 13% more hours. So that's 91 hours district-wide. And we'll add additional staff in order to open those hours. We'll invest $450,000 more into our collection, our physical and mm-hmm. digital materials. We'll have 13% more programs and outreach activities. And as mentioned earlier, we had over 5,000 programs with 99,000 people attending. So we're going to increase that by 13%. And we will continue to ensure that we're investing in our technology, keeping computers up to date, looking at new technology. We are often the place that people turn to for that access, and also ensuring our public spaces are clean and welcoming for all. We'll add a Clark County bookmobile.
Really?
So we used to have
many years ago.
And we have two, one in Skamania and one in Klickitat County. But we will add one in Clark County, and this will help us to reach all the tremendous growth mm-hmm. around the county, mm-hmm. as well as places that we would target, like our senior population,
right.
shut-ins, assisted livings, etc., mm-hmm. to bring the world to them, as well as being all the fun things, the fairs and the festivals and the parades, and really just being where the people are. And then, exciting news, we would open the new Washougal Community Library in 2027.
Oh, that's terrific.
That's decades in the making, and we just received great news last week that we received a state capital budget appropriation of $2.218 million toward that project. So that means state money going towards building that library and reducing what the district needs to allocate. And then one more thing.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. A new community library would open in 2030, likely somewhere in central to northeast Clark County, where we've seen so much growth in the population mm-hmm. and not we don't have libraries in that area. So how will we decide that? This year, we are doing a strategic planning process and a master's facilities planning process with deep community engagement. So you'll hear from us all summer to try and get information from you and what you want to see in the next chapter of your public library.
Sounds great. Well, the League is nonpartisan, and we don't support candidates, but we believe public libraries are critical to our democracy, so we are in support of this levy. Is there anything that the library lover can do to help this pass?
Well, as a public institution, we are only able to provide you with factual information about our levy, and that's exactly what we're doing. So I would go to fvrl.org/levy. Mm-hmm. I would research all the information that we have there, and if you don't find something you have a question about, there's an email, which I'll give to you. It's levy@fvrl.org, and we'll get you an answer to your question. We'd also like you to spread the word about that.
Sure.
As well as we put out news and events, and it has great information. But most of all, I would like everybody to come in, join a program, check out materials, and stay connected.
We will be doing that for sure. So before, we just have a few minutes left, but you're a librarian. We have to ask, do you have a good book to recommend?
Well, absolutely. When I have time to read, I read all across many genres and nonfiction. But right now, I just started reading an older title called My Sister's Grave. It's from 2014 by Robert Dagoni. It's the first book in his Tracy Cross White series, a gripping mystery set in the Pacific Northwest. And I'm reading this book because guess what? Robert Dagoni, who's a critically acclaimed New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, and number one Amazon best-selling author, will be here on October 16th for the annual Library Foundation's Author and Illustrators Dinner. So please start reading all of his books.
Okay. Tell us his name one more time.
Robert Dagoni, D-U-G-O-N-I, Robert Dagoni. And so please read and come and meet him on October 16th.
Well, one last question. 75th anniversary, is there going to be a party?
Well, there's always a reason to party, and we are celebrating 75 years throughout the whole year. There are events at each of the libraries, but we also have some great things happening. We have a passport program. You can get your passport at any library, and then it's welcoming you to go and visit all of our 15 locations and get a stamp, and at the end, you can win a mystery prize. And what we also do is highlight when you're in the area of the library, other things to do in those communities. So we really hope people take family trips, friend trips, and rediscover FVRL libraries.
Hey, thank you. I love this. I got grandkids. You got grandkids. Yep. Let's do that, Teresa.
Okay.
Well,
the time has gone by too fast.
such a wonderful time. We've been talking about the library levy with the director of our local library district, Jennifer Gilcrow. Citizen 411 is powered by the League of Women Voters of Clark County, and it's produced at KXRW in Vancouver. KXRW is a nonprofit community radio station. You can learn more and listen to any of our shows by going to the Citizen 411 page on the KXRW website. Thanks! And you can find out more about the League of Women Voters by visiting our webpage. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at KXRW Vancouver, and that would be lwvclarkcounty.org. And that's our show.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit columbian.com. That's C-O-L-U-M-B-I-A-N.com.